Okay, that's cool.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another reality show hosted by Golden Hawk. Join Golden Hawk as she travels down the rabbit hole exploring many of life's mysteries and adventures. Because here at another reality show, we're not afraid to let our imagination soar and our intuition run wild. So relax, get comfortable, because for the next 2 hours, we're inviting you to open your heart, spread your wings, and fly. And now, here's Golden Hawk.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Thank you so much for coming tonight. Another reality show. Yes, I'm excited to be doing another reality show. I haven't done a show in a few weeks, and I was divinely inspired to connect with our guest tonight. Because he, you know, just briefly that we've been speaking with each other, we kind of really sense that, you know, we're cut from the same mold. We have similar beliefs in self-empowerment, self-awareness, how to find enlightenment. And, you know, I'm really excited to have him on. So let me read his bio. So Dr. Daniel Ryan is a dynamic healer, mystic, and spiritual medium. He's transformed numerous lives while also enjoying a separate and successful private chiropractic practice since 1988. Referred to as the Doctor to the Stars on Lifetime Television and recognized as one of the top doctors in Southern California, Dr. Ryan is internationally known for his many appearances and workshops where he teaches meditation and acts as a conduit for spiritual communication and transdimensional healing. And I'm really excited to have you on the show tonight, Dr. Ryan. I'm not sure what you want me to call you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. You can call me anything, just not late for dinner.
You say that too. Right on.
Yeah. It only goes downhill from there.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate your casualness because I'm pretty casual too. I've always said that my show is really about part of the intention was for my show was I've always talked on the phone to girlfriends and guy friends about spirituality, and wouldn't it be great if, you know, there could be a way for people to just kind of, you know, tune in and share just by hearing some of the things that are said. And of course, on this, we have a call-in number. And if anybody wants to call in, Dr. Ryan is absolutely open to taking calls tonight. 646-929-2084. So if you have a question, and you know, as the show unfolds, and you wanna get in on the conversation, I'm totally open to that. And you really have quite an interesting bio. So, I mean, that bio, you know, your real life goes much deeper than what I just read. And I'm very much interested in. I know you're a great chiropractor. You know, that's kind of like your day job, and that's awesome. But I'm kind of interested in the side stuff of, you know, the being connected with your spirit, you know, being able to truly understand, hear, and follow wisdom from the dimensions that are not involved in the five senses. And I would love to hear, you know, kind of your story, you know, if it was there as a child or how it opened up and all that good stuff for you.
Well, in retrospect, it always was there as a child. I just wasn't aware of what it was. You see, because I was being empathic, I could feel what other people were feeling when I was in the room with them. And also, then I had my own family stuff, because a lot of healers come into this incarnation with challenging childhoods to help them have a resonant energy and toning to be able to help others heal. In other words, a knowing from experience.
Yeah.
And then there was those skeletons beckoning for emancipation, and then there's the spirits, spirit's talking to me, and feelings are giving me and stuff. So I had a combination of those things growing up, and I realized pretty quickly, because I was raised in a conservative, kind of born-again Christian upbringing, that I couldn't really talk about that stuff too much, because I would be condemned to hell. And so I kept a lot of things to myself, and I actually thought I was crazy at times, because I didn't understand this combination of that I just described. So it led me on a journey of unfolding and deciphering what I was feeling from other people, and understanding that it wasn't me, even though I was feeling it in my body, or it may not be me, even though I was hearing it in my head. Could you imagine a child, you know, coming in and feeling all these things and assuming, you know, since you're feeling it in your body, you think it's you, right? It's a natural assumption.
Well, that's exactly what I'm with you. I was empathic my whole life, and no one shared with me, you know, basically, you know, the stuff being flown around in my dysfunctional family, that it wasn't me. And I think that's a huge... I talk to children now and now explain to them truly what being an empath is, so they understand it, or at least have an awareness of it.
Yeah, that was a big impetus for me writing the book, was to help others, not only children, but, you know, adults, understand their
Definitely.
Sensitivity. Yeah, because there's so many addictions people being anti-bored until they die, you know, through different modalities to just deny the sensitivity that seems overwhelming. And it takes a lot of courage and bravery to really embrace it and decipher it and integrate it. So that was the kind of, in retrospect, you know, I did have the sensitivity. I just didn't understand it. And spirit, as spirit does, leads us perfectly and guides us as we go. So as my life unfolded and my intuition became stronger, and I learned to rely on nothing but my intuition first and foremost, that became a vehicle for my transformation and allowed me to jump off the cliff with reckless abandon and be free of the constraints of these limited ideas of this realm and experience other dimensions beyond the third dimensional fight or flight or fear mechanism, sense of lack and limitation and separation.
Okay. Would you be opposed to, like, because I love what you just said. Now, can you put a personal story to that? Because I try to give personal stories because I think people resonate when they hear something that we've done that was courageous. Like some of the earlier instances when you did have to, you know, kind of fight the rules of society, so to speak, or, you know, break free of the, you know, the jumping off the cliff, because I'm jumping off a cliff constantly. And I just think people, you know, parables, people hold on to parables because, you know what I'm saying, that might be something in their own life that they're facing the exact same situation, you know, whether it be a relationship, a job, leaving a religion, whatever it is.
Yes. Well, like I said, I was raised born-again Christian. I remember one of my ministers that I really looked up to, I told him I wanted to be a chiropractor and be a healer, and he looked at me and he said, "Why would you want to do that?"
Yeah.
Right?
God bless.
And granted, you know, I'm grateful for my upbringing, and I think it created a great foundation for me and stability. And it's not that I think it was wrong. I think it was a good starting point for me, and a platform for me to grow from there and integrate other things. But that was really a challenge of being a formidable adolescent and having a significant figure in my life, you know, say things like that, and having, you know, it was one of my earliest memories about choosing a career and thinking about different things, that where I had to overcome someone else's opinion of, I had to follow my intuition and be led by it. And, you know, obviously I did go to graduate school and became a doctor of chiropractic. But, you know, and again, as I was in my profession, I had spirit sent me people along the way that helped open me up to my sensitivity and helped me understand on a deeper level, patients and friends, and talked about, you know, energy healing and really encouraged me to explore it more.
Right.
And so what I did is I continued to follow my intuition, and it has led me to where I am. And, you know, it was, again, quite a leap for me to, you know, I've been a profession for 24 years, been a professional for 24 years, and have colleagues and in my profession. And, you know, to write a book about talking to dead people and getting healing and receiving healing and transdimensional healing from those who have transcended their physical body, and talking about how genetics and epigenetics can be altered by this integration of this transdimensional healing. In other words, the spirits can send us energy and ideas, and by the reconciliation of our connection, it can empower us and help us thrive, and it can alter the genetic expression or the epigenetics, which is the genetic expression. So we are not, in other words, we are not destined to purely our genetics. We can alter them. And that's not only from the transdimensional realm, but it's also by altering your belief systems in this realm. Because spirits really want to help us. I've spoken with thousands of spirits, and they're there to help. They're here. It's like a cheering squad. You know, they're here to encourage us. You know, there's so many misnomers about the spiritual realm, and how, you know, watch out, or you'll be, you know, that's all a figment of the dogma of lack and limitation of different religions that have attempted to control us over the ages. But it's really just what it's really about is just a consciousness, and that was the level of consciousness which we were resonating with previously. And now a paradigm shift is happening in 2012, and we are integrating a new consciousness, and this is beyond the third dimensional fight or flight mechanism of thinking that I need to protect me and my little stuff, and shifting our awareness into the fourth dimension and beyond, and becoming familiar with our multidimensional nature, where transdimensional healing, communicating with souls on the other side, alteration of epigenetics and genetics is your birthright. It's not some phenomenon that just happens in one time or something, or by accident.
Right. Well, and because I've always considered the fourth dimension the dimension of time. So, you know, I find it interesting that, I like, from my perspective, we are indeed integrating time, but of course, you know, nothing comes as a one-sided coin, because we're integrating time / no time, you know, the eternal aspect, which is, from my words, that would be my soul. And, you know, we were speaking of this briefly, you know, before the show went live, the idea of everything speeding up, and yet the way to really kind of move in the speed of things is by genuinely slowing down, not trying to keep up with the speed, but kind of letting the speed move through us, but us kind of, you know, physically speaking, slowing down. You know, I'm finding stillness and silence are, you know, opening up tremendous, I don't know if these are the words you use, this is just the dialogue I use, portals of self, you know, where I'm finding me in all these little pockets of me kind of just sitting quietly in the woods.
Yeah.
You know, like, and I mean magical parts of me.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I'm going to go on a hike with you.
Oh, if you're ever in Connecticut, we got some magical spaces in Connecticut. They're actually in New York, but many books in Hawk Rock, where I got my name from, is one of the most magical that I know of. And yeah, right on. Definitely let me know if you're around the area.
You're absolutely right, though. It's not about trying to spread yourself thinner, and that is. That's part of the challenge with the all the technology and integrating
yes.
all the technology. Is I like
yes.
the analogy of you can have a deep pail of water to hold water,
mm-hmm.
or you can pour that same amount of water over a much broader surface, and it will still be the same amount of water, except it just won't have the depth of the pale. So our experiences are much like that. If we, you know, it forces us to become more still and go inward and take a breath, focus on one thing at a time, and we have a much richer, deeper experience of that.
Yeah.
And it also opens up a portal. I do like that word.
Wonderful.
To the divine, as because it, what it does is it gives you an opportunity for there to be a break in the incessant mind chatter. So it will allow the infinite realm or your multi-dimensional self to come forth, and you can experience these things like you experience, you know, in the woods. So because you're not distracted by all these.
Excuse me.
Bless you.
Yeah, I have a thing. I have a saying.
Mark.
Anything said before a sneeze is truth. So thank you for that.
How are you?
Yeah, Neil Donald Walsh said that once in a lecture, and I never forgot it.
That's funny.
So right on there, Dan. That was exactly right.
It is done. Praise the Lord.
Exactly. I'm glad you have a sense of humor. That's a beautiful thing too. So let me ask you a question. I have an interesting thing going on just within my own experience of allowing things to be in, like, the eternal realm definitely doesn't respond, at least from my experience, doesn't respond to labels and, you know, tiny little boxes of saying, you know, this is how it's going to be. If it was this way this day, you know, we're going to repeat that day after day after day. You know, there's nothing. The pattern, like, there's probabilities per se, but there's really, it's not like the third dimensional realm where, you know, we look for the patterns. That's how science, you know, came to much of its conclusions. It had to show a pattern in order for it to become a proof. And so, with that in mind, and I realize that, you know, there's, you know, the minute we label something that kind of, you know, as the Tao put it, the minute you label it, it's not the Tao anymore. How would you describe our multidimensional selves?
Well, it's as if you're focused on the third dimension and focus on your own basic survival needs, which has been the paradigm for eons, which we're evolving out of. You see as other people as separate. You see as your source of abundance and love, etc., as separate from you and something that you need to get.
Okay.
So once you understand that we are all perfect pieces of the same puzzle, and in fact, it's by divine alchemy that we're supposed to work together and help one another by grand design, then you get to about the business of being less concerned about the little you, and it's more exciting to be of service. and to get out there and integrate it. That's why people feel so good when they're giving and serving, because it's part, it's combination of giving and taking, which equates to the nanotechnology of that is sharing. And when you're sharing, you are in alignment with God or the infinite realm that in its purest expression. So as you integrate, I call it the initiation, where we're in this, what holds us back from seeing our multidimensional nature beyond the third dimension are these limited ideas that have been dictated to this, or we've learned, or we've come in with, or it's part of our survival mechanism. And how we transcend them is by illuminating them. In other words, so if you believe that you're not worthy of having, of being loved in a relationship,
okay,
and you keep attracting relationships where they end and they don't, you don't get your needs met, and you don't get love out of the relationship. So,
okay,
instead of thinking that it's always the other person's fault, the truth is that this is a limited idea about love that is within your energy field, sitting there like a fractal pattern, and creating a stagnant energy that is manifesting from your unconscious mind. Because we are always manifesting, we are always creating, whether our beliefs are conscious or unconscious. So the idea really is to bring this limited idea about love to the surface that you may have, and allow yourself to observe it from a non-judgmental point of view, and not try to fix it or change it, because the same mechanism that would try to fix it or change it is of the third dimension and would perpetuate the same pattern.
Right on.
So when you are able to observe it with non-judgmental observation and not have to change it or fix it, but just be still, an incredible thing happens, and that is your vehicle of transformation is grace. Grace comes through and opens a window for your higher self to transmutate this energy and transmutate and illuminate this limited idea. It's much like shining a flashlight on a shadow. So the shadow is the stuck energy. As soon as you shine the light on it, it goes away and it frees up the energy, because everything is energy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just one example. So people have many different belief systems that are unconscious oftentimes. So it's the job of a healer, and that can be many different hats.
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely.
Obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And you're very much a healer. And so as you bring those to the surface, as we help each other and tune into, as an empath, you have your hands on people, you can feel these limited ideas. So what you do is you have people just observe them in their body and consciously choose not to change it or fix it, but the power of their observation illuminates it and frees it.
Right on. I'm in total 100% resonance with that truth, what you just spoke.
It's true, and that's how powerful we are.
Exactly.
So what happens then when we bring all these things to the surface, we embody what you call self-realization. So it's as if you have everything on the table and you get to choose what you believe. And then it's not an arduous task. You see something or some type of addictive behavior, for example, or a limited idea, and it becomes obvious, and you say, well, why would I want to do that? I don't want to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you just, it's not, you don't have to fight it or resist it or anything. It's just a matter of, that doesn't serve me. It's obvious, so I'm not going to do that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And once you start resonating on that level, you get to step through the doorway of your own divinity and come into alignment with your soul's greatest yearning, be it love, joy, compassion. And once you do that, it ignites the passion of your soul, and the universe conspires and your soul conspires in your favor to assist you in your unfoldment of your soul's greatest yearning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when you experience joy and love and peace for which there is no opposite. And you embody this, and you hold a resonant tone, and you become a brighter light in this realm. And you also give others the permission to do the same.
Now that's what I find most of all, that like it seems people sense it cellularly. When they're around me, I'm very open about, you know, the things that I've done in this incarnation that have been dark, and I don't have guilt over it, and I don't have shame over it. And I did, but I don't anymore. And obviously, I don't. In some levels, that's why I talk about it on the radio. But I think that they cellularly feel that as well, because it's not just people that, you know, on the radio, but people I'll meet, they'll say to me, you know, I've never told anybody this before. You know, and I'll chuckle and go, okay, that's fine. Because the truth is, when we really are accepting of the parts of us that, you know, might be socially unacceptable or religious unacceptable, whatever the unacceptableness of it is, when we accept it in ourselves, that is the ultimate, of course. Well, why would you judge anybody else for anything that they think is unacceptable? You know what I mean? Because it really does eliminate the judgment by walking the talk. You know what?
Yes.
Because people will be like, I can't get rid of judgment. And I was like, well, start with yourself. Don't worry so much about, you know, if you're judging other people, that simply means that there's still stuff inside, in my humble opinion, that you don't like about yourself. And there's
right.
Nothing not to like. You know, the soul didn't come here to be, we weren't all meant to be Mother Teresa. That's just not the point of this journey. Again, you know, from my perspective, the point in this journey, I mean, for me, I can tell you, was to go very much into the dark. I mean, I wanted to experience it, and I have. And as you were saying so eloquently, that I believe healers often, you know, have these very challenging lifetimes. But when there is an integration of it, this alchemy that you speak of, by just simply acknowledging it, just accepting it, not anything else, not doing a, you know, there's so many techniques out there. If you, you know, if you say three ohms and you bow 12 times, you know, your DNA will go up.
Right.
And, you know, listen, I was there for many years, and it's just in my humble opinion that's a mind game. That is not a cellular or soulful. The soul simply knows when the frequency of true acceptance, which in my humble opinion also trumps forgiveness, because You initially, I started off with forgiveness, but I don't feel there's anything that needs forgiveness. It's all acceptance. I was who I was when I was doing those things, and today I'm a different being. And in that difference of my being, I simply wouldn't do those things anymore. But if somebody else is not on the journey in the same space, how could I ever be not compassionate towards them when I really understand it, because I was there too at one point? You know, that's...
Absolutely.
It's kind of the panacea, right? You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
If I didn't, and I'm sure your listeners are dying to hear some of your stories about your dark side, but I...
Oh, no, trust me, they know them.
Well, maybe it's just me then. So, but
I'm happy to share, though.
Okay. I experienced, what I experienced, the arduous upbringing and as we were talking earlier, growing up with a father who was an alcoholic and it was in that environment. It really trained me to know and sense and what I was dealing with when I came home.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde.
So
I experienced a lot of the dark side also. And, you know, whether a lot of it, you know, being circumstance, not necessarily by choice. But the truth is, the real truth is, I believe, is it's all perfect. And what I mean by that is our soul chooses these experiences with high precision, and they're it's very exact prescription for our unfoldment of consciousness. It's not just I happened to be there and this happened and,
right.
and whatever. You know, this is whatever happens at when it happens. You know, that's what propelled you to get you where you are now. That's what propelled me
exactly.
to get me where I am and helping
exactly.
other people, helping other people wake up. And it's from it's not from some airy fairy place and just say these mantras or not to bash mantras or anything, because I think they're
no,
cool.
I know.
But just you know, whatever the belief system, like you're saying, spin around three times and tap your head. Slap
right.
yourself in the forehead, whatever, and say heal. But
it just doesn't happen that way. That's not
no.
you know, and there are truly people hanging up the shutter, whatever, you know, after taking classes. You know, I and I'm not saying classes help us, I think, understand how to deal professionally in this new awakening territory of healing. But healing is actually taking place, you know, heal or heal thyself. Heal thyself, and it's the cells are already radiating to your clients or your friends or just somebody standing next to you in line in the grocery store, that your soul is now, it's like we're tuning forks. You know, we have
Absolutely.
Shifted the tone of our frequency, and that is the healing that's taking. And like I had a woman at I was getting my nails done the other day, and we were sitting there waiting. I was speaking to a woman who was from Greece, and I don't speak Greek, and she doesn't speak English, and we were having a lovely conversation, a lot of smiling, and I saw her daughter, and it just so happened I got sat next to her daughter, and I said, I had a lovely conversation with your mother, even though we didn't speak a stitch of the same language, and she looked at me, she goes, I think you're one of the happiest people I've met in a long time. And she goes, what's your secret? And I went, is a lot of hard work. That's my
listen,
secret.
Listen, girlie, you don't know where I came from.
Well, and that's the truth. I mean, it didn't happen because, you know, it just... And the truth is, though, it's my passion to do the work and then share it with others that the hard work pays off. And it ends up not being work at all. It's this incredible discovery of self. It's incredible to know ourselves, all of ourselves. Who would only want to read part of a book? You know, every book, if it's a good story, has the character in it that's the dark one. That's our lives, too. We have characters and aspects that are dark, and don't you want to get to know that aspect? I did, and I'm glad I did, because the wisdom that my dark aspects have shared with me are priceless. Are truly, I didn't find my, I found my a portion of myself that I couldn't find in heaven. I had to go to hell to find it, to find me. And I'm glad I did, because, you know, it didn't make me bitter, not at all. It helped me become my, like my brother said to me when I was 16, stop talking about healing and start doing it. And, you know, I kind of saluted him and went, yes, sir.
That's funny. East Coast
yeah.
attitude, right?
Yeah, very East Coast. I was only 16 at the time, too. Gosh, come on. I still got plenty of years to go through the darkness.
That's right. Give me a minute. I want to sit in the dark for a minute. Jeez.
So right on. So I love that we're resonating with each other. That, because I really am, part of the reason why I don't do my show once a week anymore is I'm very conscious of who I want to connect with on the air. Because this is a very, we have a particular flavor, so to speak, of healing and self-realization.
Say that
and
again.
And it's important. Pardon?
You could say that again.
Right. Yeah. So I stopped trying to, I didn't do a weekly show and tried to fill the spots with, people selling books and techniques. It's like, I'm happy to sell books and techniques when they're, genuinely sharing a resonant tone that I'm like, yeah. So I am curious, though. Once we go to the other side, what's going on over there? I've had dreams where I've been shot in the head, and I didn't die, of course, but I have not been able to actually break the membrane consciously of who I am. Like, my soul has come into my physical being, into this consciousness. I don't have a consciousness of being in the soul's realm.
Oh,
so I'm wondering
that.
If you can, or beyond that, yeah. I'm wondering if you can share anything on that.
Well, that's what I was kind of talking about, fourth dimension and stepping into your multidimensional nature. Really what it is understanding that you're much more than this body, much more than
okay.
this identity. And when you do that and you step into the magnitude and get a resonant tone, a feeling tone, a knowing of the vastness of your soul and how you are an intricate part of all people, places, and things, it seems ludicrous to see someone else as separate or to hurt someone else. It would be like hurting your own hand or
right.
something, which
yeah,
some people
yeah.
do, which some people do, which is an interesting thing, if you're that kind of cut off from self, just to try to feel something. So when you step into that, your multidimensional nature, and you're resonating on a multidimensional level, all the little things that you worry about, or the little things become still and not so important. See, because it's like a triangle from the third dimensional perspective, and where we're very much resonating with our fight or flight mechanism. And everything in this realm, for the most part, is based on trying to fix or quiet the mind or fix the mind or,
right.
Something like that, right? It's all based
absolutely
on trying to fix these things, these reactions. What a lot of people don't understand, most people don't understand, but there are some on the planet who are starting to catch this, that this, your survival mechanism is supposed to react that way. You've created it over many lifetimes to be strong and reactive and protect you when appropriate. So when a bear
okay.
is in the room, when a bear is in the room, you can run or fight if you're a little bit.
I recommend running.
Yeah. the problem is when people are, if you're so identified with that fight or flight mechanism all the time, you're constantly on high alert and you can't really relax, and you're
right.
constantly defending yourself. So you're either a victim. It's like a triangle. You're either a victim
okay.
Of something, somebody doing something to you or something happening to you, or another corner of the triangle is that you're blaming yourself or someone else for your what you don't have or what you need. Or
okay.
The other aspect of the triangle is that something will save you.
Yeah.
So if you think about it, all these things, you know, whether it's prayer or you know, a mentor or a guru or something, something's going to save you. Meditation, something outside of yourself will save you. And these very much like meditation, I tell people, is a tool. And not to misconstrue this tool as the end result. This is the working paradigm of consciousness that we are embodying and integrating and surpassing. And so once we integrate this, and once we are able to see that our reactive nature, like when you get really upset about, like somebody says something, like your father says something to you, and you know, he knows how to push your buttons. So,
oh my, are you psychic?
Purely hypothetical here. So when he pushes your buttons, then you're it's kind of eating at you for a week or two, right? So this is, and your mind is like keeps going over it and over it and over it, and because you're trying to calm it down or fix it or whatever. And the truth is, it's your survival mechanism has been triggered.
Okay.
And it's supposed to react that way.
Okay.
So the act of trying to fix something that you A, cannot fix, and B, it's not going away. You can't get rid of your survival mechanism.
Okay.
So the act of trying to change it or fix it, it puts you on this perpetual road to hell. And
well, because it's energy that's basically it's wasted energy.
Right, and you're just in this incessant mind loop, kind of like a little hamster on a wheel, and you're doing the same thing over and over again. Now, okay,
right.
You say, well, great, that's fine. So, what do you do about that?
Okay.
So, what you do is, instead of trying to fix it or change it, which is the finite mind or the third dimensional mind trying to fix it or change it, is like the fox watching the hen house. So it's part of the same paradigm. So by definition, it can't fix it or change it. So what happens? So as these ideas come up, when we see our reactive nature, or Eckhart Tolle talks about your pain body being engaged.
Yes.
When you see this happen, and it engages. What you do is you observe it, and you give yourself permission to not have to do what it says, to not have to change it, not have to fix it, and not, you know, it'll tell you, you better go do this right now. And you say, you know, I'm going to see how I feel in an hour from now.
Okay.
I'm going to see how I feel in 5 hours or tomorrow. And, you know, everything changes. Emotions are just so long, so they shift. And so your reactive nature, by you consciously choosing with your higher self, is what you're doing, to not have to engage or identify with the survival mechanism or your reactive nature, it's just semantics here.
Okay.
Then you are choosing dominion over your consciousness.
Okay.
You're saying, this is my
occupy
house.
Occupy yourself. That's, okay, right on. Okay.
This is my house, and I say what goes on here, and I'm consciously choosing. I am very upset. It's not just going away, but I'm consciously choosing to remove myself from the situation if need be and give myself a little space to see how I feel later, to this is how you begin it, or tomorrow, or whatever. And what you're saying is, I'm not just going to be a victim to the whims of my survival mechanism on high alert all the time.
Mm.
And so as you practice this, what you're doing is recognizing the limitations of your third dimensional nature, or your survival mechanism. And as you, your higher self, because you know there's an aspect of you that always recognize, wow, that's a big reaction happening. I'm going down that road. I'm going down that road, and I can't stop it.
I'm a Mack truck, and I lost my brakes.
Yeah, and I'm proud of it.
Yeah,
so once your ego just has a field day. So when you can be really, really upset and still choose, like, okay, I recognize here that I'm having a big reaction, and I know that I don't have to do whatever it dictates to me that it's saying I should do or have to do, because I'm not in a balanced state of mind right now, or I'm not in alignment with my soul's desire or my higher self to make an appropriate decision about this situation. So you give yourself some space. And people are so hesitant to ever do that. But when you give yourself space like that, the energy shifts. And also you're sending a message to your higher self, yes. And you're going up the road of higher consciousness and have dominion over your consciousness. In other words, you get to choose what you believe. And you take, you know, your survival mechanism is no longer driving the bus. So a real magical thing happens when you do this and you practice this, when you are able to recognize your third dimensional nature and see it for what it is and stop trying to fix it, stop trying to change it. It's never worked for anybody else, and it never will. Do you know anybody it's worked for?
Well, the visual that I have, and I think you'll agree with this visual, is in the movie A Beautiful Mind, when he started understanding ignoring the aspects instead of screaming at them, inevitably they didn't go away, but they really did quiet down. It's what Eckhart Tolle says: don't feed the pain body. The pain body comes up for feedings, and ultimately, if you don't feed it, the pain body quiets down.
That's right. Whatever we put our energy to expands.
Right.
So we're choosing to put our energy to be more conscious and take back our space, to take back our decisions about how we want to be. And it's hard at first, and as you start to do this, you know, it gets easier and easier. And so once you integrate this, you start to experience the fourth dimension and beyond, because what happens is it allows space when you're not trying to figure out the dynamics of when Joe did this to me or my dad did this to me. And, you know, it takes a lot of energy to figure all that out all the time when you may not be half accurate anyway. So...
Exactly.
And the truth is, it's not really any of your business. So your business is, and your mandate is, to know thyself, like you said, and to have dominion over your consciousness, to be in control of who you are. And so you step into the fourth dimension, and then you understand. So when you practice this, your energy expands beyond the third dimension, in spite of your finite mind or your survival mechanism, and you experience a knowing that you are not separate. You experience a knowing that I'm not limited to this time and space or this physical body. You understand a knowing that I am, by grand design, by divine inspiration, I'm here to help love thy neighbor.
Well, you know, and in my humble opinion, until we have done at least some integration of self
I see people who are in service to others, but when it's coming from the ego, in other words, they're in service to others because they want to be liked. And that is as detrimental as being not in service to others. You know, it's an interesting thing. The world of actions, whatever the action is, inherently isn't good or bad. It's really, well, what's the motive behind that? What motivates you? You know, because I've seen people who are people pleasers, and, you know, it's so clear to me that they're a mess. their lives are not thriving. They are not in divine order with their soul. They don't know how to say no. You know, and it's funny because that was never really my gig. Because I come from the other action. This is where I say I'm kind of the poster child for the dark. Like, I've always been inherently selfish. But what's so interesting is, as I've just been on my own journey, I have understood that in my soulfulness, which is now how I understand my selfishness to be, I have also been assisting in the healing of this planet, because in my selfishness, I have gone within myself, and like when we were talking about, you know, the father being the trigger, there was one day where I just had an epiphany that my father never, when I first started the radio show, he didn't support me at all. He just thought it was some cockamamie idea, and he was like, don't come to me for money, don't come to me for assistance. I want, you know, this is just bullshit. And I went, all righty then, you know, and I was on terrestrial radio at the time in Rhode Island. And, you know, I was like, I won't come to you. We got that clear. Okay. And what hit me was, like, if he would periodically come to me and kind of just throw the dagger of, you know, oh, you're never going to make anything of this, or, you know, did you get a sponsor yet? Oh, yeah, you didn't get a sponsor yet. I started understanding it because in my epiphany I said, he is the voice of my subconscious not believing in myself.
Hallelujah.
Exactly. And so as soon as I got that he was my subconscious, instead of fighting him or instead of being hurt so badly, oh, he doesn't believe in me, I started going, okay, every time he would say something, I'd go, you know, to the woods. My thing is I go to the woods. I go to the woods and go, come on, Goldie, find yourself, because this is your passion and you know it. So, you know, whatever's going on, let it move through you, because you and you know, I'm at a space where I don't need a sponsor to tell me that I'm doing the job I'm supposed to do. I don't need a million people viewing me. I'm just being me, doing my thing, you know, being my own my own acknowledgement is me. Again, which is part of being in self, is that you don't need the outside world to tell you when you're on you know, on point and on purpose. And of course, this year I was having I've been out of work, quote unquote. It's funny, I'm gainfully unemployed, but I didn't have the money for a Blog Talk Radio. And my father came up to me, and this is no lie. He goes, "It is a parent's honor to come to their child and allow them to do their passion, and they can assist them." And he gave me the money for...
You're like, who are you channeling?
He is, you know, my beautiful father, Fred, is our sponsor for tonight and all shows this year. And I share that story, you know, on several occasions, because, like you just said, the hallelujah is to understand that he really is my subconscious, the part of me that... If I can't hear it in myself, then the soul does give it to somebody to say so I can hear it. Not so I can be hurt by it, but so if I can hear it, I can look at it and then consciously work at you know, getting connected with myself again to know who I am and that I can do this.
So. Well, at the risk of getting way out there metaphysically, I will say that what you just said is deep and profound high consciousness. Oh. And that is because ultimately everything that we see in our reality is a projection of what we believe.
Right on.
So
right
if you
on.
And people say, oh, I can't accept that. I don't want to see the bad side or whatever. Well, and it's interesting. People automatically look to the negative part of it. But the truth is, if you embody like what you're talking about, you have that epiphany, the realization that your father was expressing an unconscious belief from you, mirroring it back to you.
Exactly.
That's high consciousness, because when you pay attention to the world from that perspective, you get on the fast track to a state of becoming ever enlightened. I don't say enlightenment because I believe it's a state of ever enlightening, expanding as we participate in this co-creative process with the divine, and we're not limited by it.
Right.
So that is very high consciousness to have an epiphany and take, you know, that is a fourth dimensional perspective, as we were talking about, you know, instead of saying being a victim by, you know, my father, which would be third dimension and how you'd seen him maybe previously on some occasions. So you step
several.
You step into an enlightened perspective, and that is, okay, I created this, and this is there. If this I have a PowerPoint presentation in front of me that's happening for me to see what I'm doing.
Exactly, and it's made to order. Each of us, it's made for us. That is the perfection of this, that's the purpose of the third dimension, to show us that which we might not see in energy form. You know, we might not be tapped into that subtle yet. Because that's my goal now, to, you know, really start, you know, because they say if you're, you know, when you're tapped into the subtle, all you have to do is go, dink, and like the whole cosmos shifts.
Because you are the cosmos.
Because we are, right on. You become the space, not just the things in the space, but the space itself.
And you know, it's interesting what me understanding about remote healing and shifting people that way. You have to. It's the process of understanding that there is no over there.
Right.
So when I tune into somebody and shift their energy wherever they are in the world, people call me, you know, I absolutely know for a fact, I'm not thinking about, well, I can't do that because I don't have my hands on them.
Mm.
If I'm even on the phone with them or they need to come into my office or whatever the case may be, it's for them. It's not for me.
Right.
And that's fine if that's the case, because I don't need to get in the way of their healing process.
Right.
But you know, that's another example of integrating that this high level of consciousness where you have beyond just a metaphysical idea that, oh yeah, we're all connected and we're here to help each other. When you integrate it and you follow the path like you're doing with that realization, that epiphany, they become more frequent until you understand, and then you stop looking the other way. You only look for the perfection that's unfolding, and you realize that it's all perfect. I loved what you said a minute ago when you said, you know, it's not really good or bad. So you were talking about the dark side and the good and bad and stuff.
Right.
There really isn't any bad. And there really isn't any good. Things just are.
Right.
I remember one time I was integrating something with my father.
Okay.
Like kind of a dark memory, and it was manifesting physically as a headache.
Okay.
And I was allowing myself to, instead of trying to do an adjustment or body work or take an aspirin or something to alleviate the pain, I had the wherewithal to sit with it and be very still, like I was talking about earlier, and just observe it. And I was fascinated. It was like pieces of my skull energetically were lifting off and these portals opening up with each each aspect of a memory to a particular incident that happened. And it was as if I was being emancipated from this steel cap that I wasn't even completely aware of until after it had lifted, how light it was.
Nice.
And as I went deeper and allowed myself to be very present and do that, I was humbled, completely humbled and flabbergasted by how good this bad incident felt.
Right on.
You know
right
why?
On.
You know why?
Tell me.
Because I could feel it. Mm. I couldn't feel it before because I had blocked it out because my idea was that it was bad, you know, and I had these ideas around it, and all this energy on it that judging it, et cetera. When I allowed myself to be just very still and see it for what it was, and you know, it's so much smaller than all the reactions to things. I was fascinated how good and deep and rich and profound this seemingly bad thing felt.
Mm.
And then I realized that it just is. It's not bad. It's just and what a rich experience.
Really rich. You know, I want to talk about this too because it's coming up and it seems perfect. Now we spoke briefly about how genetics, you know, are definitely not, you know, does not necessarily determine our physical beings. And there's Bruce Lipton. He speaks a lot on that. I know Greg Braden speaks on that. I mean, it's clear it's out there in consciousness. But something happened to me personally. And it was really very much along the lines of what you just said, which is really interesting because my mom died from breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And no, that's incorrect. Sorry. My mom died from chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
And what was really interesting was about 6 months ago, maybe less, I just call it, okay, it's the flat 6 months ago. It wasn't yesterday, so it was 6 months ago. So 6 months ago, I found a lump on my breast, and I gave myself, and not by choice, but the first day I found it, you know, I played the whole scenario, I'm going to die of breast cancer. And then after a day, it was like, okay, enough of that, Goldie. What are we doing with this? And it was like, well, you know what? Because I hear people a lot, or I see it on Facebook and stuff, people battling cancer. You got to fight cancer. You know, we're going to kick cancer's ass because that's the way we're going at it. You know, we're going to war with this.
Hmm.
And I intuitively got, no, I need to talk to my little bump. That's what I named her. I named her my little bump. and I did. Now, I was definitely conscious. You know, I didn't. Like, I could have immediately gone, you know, and had a diagnosis, and I was like, no, but we're going to do this metaphysically first, see what happens. So for like a month, I was just talking to her, but what I was really doing is I was inviting her to share with me, what do you want me to know? What is the message you're bringing? And the epiphany that I got, which was interesting because I mentioned it earlier, was that being empathic my whole life, what I have thought was a lifetime of the issue of abandonment and low self-esteem and lack of self-worth that I have been, you know, quote-unquote, working on my whole life was actually my empathy towards my mother.
Mm.
That it was actually her energy, empathically, that it wasn't mine.
Mm.
And this whole, I mean, a plethora of just essence came into my being and the bump disappeared.
And, you know, and I have, you know, friends who are, well, you know, you got to go get a mammogram. And I was like, no, no, this is, no, no, I really don't. And I thought it was interesting because I've had some, my mom, first cancer came, it was in the back of her Achilles heel. That was the first quote-unquote thing she had cut out. And then she had a breast removed, and then the cancer ended up on her, the bone in between her breasts, which was, they couldn't operate on it. You know, and of course it just keeps popping up because, you know, in my humble opinion, everything that happens to us physically has a mental and or emotional origin. This is the nature of energy, and this is why I've always been like, if I can tink, you know, the cosmos, it'll never have to form as, you know, fourth degree cancer, which is, you know, when you're one step away from basically dying.
Yeah.
And so I just thought it was so interesting because it took something to happen on my body in the exact same way it happened to my mother for me to sit still, get it, which was, you know, where I was crying that she abandoned me when I was like 7 years old hiding behind the couch. Because I had a conversation. It was me at seven, me at 47, which is me this year, and my I Am presence or higher self or, you know, just a higher aspect of me. I had a conversation behind the couch when I had little bump around, and that was, and the wisdom I got was, you're behind the couch thinking mom's abandoned you, and mom's in the bedroom feeling abandoned. Go to mom. She needs your wisdom because she doesn't believe in herself. Mm. And, like, having that, you know, was just like a gong. And so, you know, and my mother has been, she passed away in 2000, but I tell people all the time that I said, I believe that healing takes place through generations. Like, as I heal it in my being, my grandmother, my mother, my great-grandmother, all of us are affected, and I've seen that in hypnosis. And so I went to my mom, who was crying in the bedroom, and, you know, I believe that it helped her even on the other side. And I'm curious, what do you believe that, you know, we can actually help heal the dead, so to speak?
Well, I love that you said that because that's something I explain to people because there's this idea people have that once we transcend the physical body, that we're just, we don't exist anymore or we just,
right.
We're all knowing and we're just in the spiritual realm and you know everything. You're with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the truth is...
Wrong answer.
Right. Thanks for playing.
Exactly.
The truth is that spirits continue... our spirits continue to evolve whether we're in a physical body or not.
Mm.
And I've had spirits come through who committed suicide or even... believed, you know, just gave up years before they actually died a physical death. And to their surprise that they are in the spiritual realm and they didn't, they still have their stuff.
Right, right,
so
exactly.
They still get to evolve. And in fact, many of them have explain to me that it's easier while we're in a physical body to evolve. So go out and grab it.
Right on. Yeah.
Go for it. Take all you can get. And I wanted to mention one more thing that that is important for people to know because we have this limited idea about, a lot of people have a limited idea about, well, healing means that they're going to continue living.
Yeah, right on. Yeah. Sure.
And healing doesn't always mean that you're going to continue living.
Mm.
A physical reality.
Right, right.
And healing, you know, in your mom's case, you know, she got the perfect healing that she needed and the experience that she needed as she
right.
transitioned and the whole experience. And you had a different experience.
Right.
And the outcome was different because that
yeah.
wasn't something that you were supposed to experience in this realm.
And I kind of knew that. It was so interesting because the first day I went into the whole, I'm going to die. I was just so like, you know, it's almost like, hey, I haven't got to play this yet. And, you know, which is amazing because, you know, sex, drugs, and rock and roll were my dark side. I was very close to death on many occasions. But there was something conscious about, you know, and I guess, because it's interesting, it's like that victim really does, it's so deep in the cells. Because I have stopped looking at myself as a victim for quite some time, and yet this was a new thing, like, and so I played it for a day, and then it was just a matter of, I mean, just really, the knowing came in, I was like, no, I'm not my mother, not even close, and I thought it was really interesting, too, because I've had people who have had tumors, you know, or things show up, and, you know, they say to me, what would you do, and this is before I had the experience, but I was like, well, the first thing I would do is, well, what do you want me to know? You know, it's bringing a message. So I say find the message because I have found that whenever I know the message, things kind of just, you know, magically get better on their own. And that's in anything, like with the headache.
Right.
You know, I think so, you know, where people are running to doctors now with MRIs and CAT scans, and it's like, you know, whoa, this is energy we're talking about, and you know, really some serious shifting going on the planet right now. Let's be open to it, and let's understand it that, you know, like you were saying, pain does not mean you've done something wrong. Pain is a part of the process of becoming whole again.
It's part of, yes, it's a part of your awakening process.
Yeah.
As are all of our experiences. And like we were talking about, if you shift your perspective to look at every single thing that happens in your life like
mm-hmm.
that, it changes your whole reality, doesn't it?
It does. You know when they say that saying, change your perspective, change your life?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I mean, that's no lie.
It's no lie.
That's, yeah. it really does change. And this is what I love sharing this. I love sharing because, see, you don't need to pay for classes per se. You know what I mean? This is, you have all the tools necessary. You, quietness, and your own experiences. You know, it's like, it's a beautiful package. It's all right there. You know,
that's right. I tell people, you know, they say, well, how can I do this? How can I become, you know, I'm thinking about taking this class and this class, and
yeah.
I'm like, that's great. You know, I'll give you something to do until you so you understand who you are.
Right. I mean, that's, because I was building Merkabahs just a year ago.
What's Merkabahs?
Merkaba is a geometrical shape that naturally is inherent in the wholeness of who we are. You don't have to build these things, but, you know, what you just said is exactly. I got so caught up in, I wanted to ascend, that was like my carrot, and I really started understanding that I wanted to ascend because I was unhappy. And I was not going in my body.
I can't tell you how many people that come to me and they're not in their body.
Yeah.
It's this idea that they need to ascend their body is so prevalent. It's like it's an escape mechanism.
Exactly.
So
it's another drug.
First thing I do is, you know, bring them back into their body. And
that's beautiful.
And take them deeper.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that helps them really understand and integrate, you know, contrary to what they believed, their own divinity, the richness, the depth of their soul in this incarnation.
Right on. Right on. It's really deep. That's really beautiful, too. I love it. I love it. I just love that my intuition was right on with you. Just, yes! two points for Goldie. No,
what
actually, this
getting?
Is a three-pointer. So, and, okay, so, now, and you do have, okay, now, the medium part, how does that work? I mean, like, do you have
know.
To go into a okay, that's an excellent answer, right? Well, let me ask you a question. Can we try and connect with my mom tonight?
Sure.
Because, I mean, I would love to know, you know, if she has something to say about this conversation. Because I have the knowing, but I don't know from her end what she experienced, you know, when I had the conversation behind the couch.
You mean you just had that conversation recently?
It happened within 6 months. Thanks.
That's funny. So what you do to connect to the other side, basically, is you embody your multidimensional nature.
Okay.
By doing some of these things that we were talking about. And you're okay with whatever comes up here.
Of course. Yes.
This, right?
Yeah, edit nothing. Absolutely. And she might swear, don't be surprised, I won't be if you do. It's all good.
So as you take a deep breath and have your feet on the floor, it's like tuning in a radio.
Okay.
And you might as an empath, you'll understand that you may start to get a feeling tone.
Okay.
Of something.
Should I share if I get these things or just experience them?
You can share. Yeah, certainly. You let the listeners know what you're feeling as well.
Okay, right
and
on.
You know, this is an interesting thing. So your mom had dark hair?
Yep.
And she's got a look on her face like it's a almost like a furrowed brow, kind of like she's looking down.
Okay. Looking down meaning disappointed looking down? That kind of looking down?
It's as if you're looking at her. She's showing me her profile, and she has this kind of disappointed or worried look on her face, and it's not a happy look.
Okay.
As she her head's tilted down.
Okay.
Oh, okay. So she's, and what she's saying is she's disappointed in herself.
Yeah, I knew it was. I know it's not me. I know it's her. But right on. Okay.
And she also, she just wants to say in front of everybody that she'll do this if she has to, but she really prefer not talking through me.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, okay, I don't want to make her. So she, in other words, she wants me to connect with her because I have had profound connections with my mother.
What she's doing also is she's expressing an aspect of her personality to verify to you that it's her.
Right. Oh, come on, Ma. Play for the audience, Ma.
It's not so much about a literal interpretation of that. That's just my feeling of her saying.
Okay.
Before she goes on, she just wants to say that she's says she effed up with you.
Yeah, I told you. Okay. Okay.
She's got this little grin on her mouth. The left side of her mouth is going up, kind of like a smirk. Like, yeah, mm-hmm. like a wise guy smirk. And,
yeah.
And she says she abandoned you on many levels, especially emotionally.
Mm.
And that's what she's sorry about. She just wanted to lay that out.
Mm.
Now, this is interesting because you were talking about and asking me if spirits can receive healing.
Right.
And we kind of talked about that a bit, but this is an opportunity right now where your mom has not fulfilled her greater potential around her heart chakra, around her expression of love, if you will. Because I don't see it as, you know, people as stuck or they're whatever. I see it, my interpretation of it is people have areas for which they can fulfill a greater potential in.
Okay.
Because that's just the truth, anyway.
I agree.
So your mom can actually, by all the work that you've done around your heart chakra, we can hold a resonant tone with her. She's like, yes, yes, yes. and that's what I'm talking about.
Exactly. Yeah, she's a loud Brooklyn woman, so. A loud Jewish Brooklyn woman.
Yeah.
Yes.
She's cranking right in there.
Exactly. Okay, right on.
So, give it to me.
Right on, Ma. It's coming.
She just said the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
Is that her team? Or what was that about?
Well, that would be when she was a kid. I don't know.
Oh, there,
I mean,
there may be more to that in a minute. So we.
Okay.
How interesting. She says that you have, there was a picture of her with a Brooklyn Dodgers hat on, and the hat's a little, it looks like it's twisted, turned to the left a little bit in the picture.
As a child?
As a child, yes. There's a picture of her.
Okay, because there are not many pictures of my mom as a kid at all. At least not here, not at my dad's house.
Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
Well, you may come across that, and she's.
Okay.
She's,
yeah, that would be hot. Okay.
She's talking about that. So, what I want to do right now, though, before we talk about this other stuff and not get distracted, I think it's really important that we help your mother heal.
Right on.
Because we're not limited to this time and space. We're not limited just because she's not doesn't have a physical body, and we're not limited because we do have a physical body.
Right on. And I'm actually, I've never felt a more knowing to that, what truth, what you just said, than the present moment.
So
yeah,
you're feeling that knowing, and you're resonating with that right now because you are going to be the one that actually holds the resonant tone.
Okay.
Of your knowing around your heart chakra to allow a shift to happen in your mom.
Okay.
She says, "I love this." You go.
Well, I love her. I love you, Ma. Always. I just love you.
She's laughing. What happened with her teeth?
She had very soft teeth and, ended up, they just started rotting out and it was like, get dentures, Ma, for God's sakes, get them.
Yeah, it looked kind of funky there in the front. On the front top left, do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember when they were going bad.
Yeah.
And
Yeah. It was like, you need to get something done with that.
She's like, oh, whatever.
Yeah, she was never a vain, very natural, didn't wear makeup. Even though she had her insecurities, but her gig wasn't makeup and all that. That was her sister's thing.
She said that she just thought people should just see what they get is what they get, and that's it.
Right, right. Which is who I am today because of that. And right on, right on. Yeah. She was a horse. She worked two jobs and used to get chemotherapy on her lunch hour.
Jesus.
Yeah, she was a horse. She was unbelievable. In so many ways, she was amazing. Unfortunately, it was all directed to kick her own ass. I mean, it's like,
she
okay.
She just gave me this look like, you know, lifting her eyebrows a little bit like,
Yeah.
Like a... Just got to do what you got to do.
Yeah.
And there's,
yeah.
She wants to, there's some energy around with her sister.
Okay.
Also.
Okay.
We'll get to. But what I want you to do right now, this will help shift both of you, actually, because there's some, this is great, you know, because this is what I was talking about, how we're all intricate pieces of the same puzzle. And you guys need to do this process together to complete both of your healing cycle here around your heart.
Okay. Okay.
So I want you to
thank you.
I want you to take a breath for me and follow it down into your chest. Now there's an area that's sitting in there that has a little fear. Do you recognize that?
Yes.
Kind of, I think it's kind of over your, it feels like it's over your left chest area.
That's exactly where my hand is. Okay.
Yeah, perfect.
Yeah.
See, you know, that's why I said you're a natural healer.
Yeah.
So I want you to do me, just pay attention to that and observe it and allow yourself to feel that energy. What you're observing is what we were, this is great because we're talking about the theoretical, now we have a practical application of what's going on. I think you knew that intuitively though, because you told me that before we started. So what I want you to do is practice what we were talking about, and that is, instead of trying to fix this energy or try to get it out of you or something like that, I want you just with a very peaceful mind observe it and consciously choose, you're just as if you're just taking an inventory of what's there, and you don't have to fix it or change it. Okay, you're just observing it, and your mother's doing the same right now. Now you may feel some a bit of tingling or energy moving through your left shoulder or left arm.
It's actually running through my hand. My hand is getting very warm.
Your left hand, right?
My right hand.
Right hand. Okay. So as you continue to breathe, just observe. Now your mind is still thinking a little bit that it needs to do something. Do you see that?
Yeah, right on. Yeah, I do. And by the way, now my hand is tingling as well, so yes.
Yes. Okay. So that aspect of you that still thinks it needs to do something, that also you can just observe and not have to change that or fix it, okay? You got it?
Okay, yeah.
And for all those healers out there, this is how you've heard the term get out of the way of yourself. This is how you do it. There you go. You just dropped in. Did you feel that?
I did. The tingling stopped.
Yeah. Now I want you to feel... your mother's smiling. She wants you to feel her heart now. And again, you don't have to get anywhere or do anything. It's as easy as feeling the warmth of the sun on your skin. It just is. Feel that?
Yeah. I can smell her.
Yeah.
What's she doing?
She said, that bad, huh?
No. I love my mom. I love her.
She's a character.
She is. She is.
It's the only way I can get any attention over here. She wants you to know she's having a great time.
Yes.
And
Is she the one who orchestrated me calling you?
Yes.
Yeah, right on.
Of course.
God bless. Yeah, exactly.
She said, girly, you know that little feeling you had about...
Yeah.
You were supposed to do this show. This is why.
Yeah.
I can pull some strings over here. Don't worry.
Well, Dan, thank you for participating as well. I really appreciate this.
Of course.
Deeply.
I think you should explain to the listeners what you're feeling.
I'm feeling very connected to my mother. Like we're in the same room right now, but it's inside of me. She's inside of me right now. I can smell her. It's funny, there are days sometimes I can't bring up a picture of her face, but not right now, right now. I mean, I just can see her, you know, and I can hear her voice. She, like I said, she was like a loud, raspy, you know, Jewish woman that...
She said you're probably trying to forget those teeth.
No, her teeth are fine. She, I mean, there were other things I was embarrassed about, believe me.
Don't get her started.
Yeah, no, but see, right now it's just being connected with her is, and just helping her because she was such a good mom. She was the best. She was the absolute best.
I
love
out,
her so much. Good.
I want to point out to the listeners as well that and people can probably feel it, especially the sensitive people, that what you're describing, I can feel this healing is complete now. That you are that you're connected, and it's so beautiful that you were able to help each other this way.
Right. That is beautiful.
She said, "I told you, you're not getting rid of me."
No, I'm not looking to get rid of my mom. Hey, was she there when I married Scott?
She said that didn't work out too well, did it?
Oh, no. Yeah, no. Well, it wasn't a legal marriage. We just did a ceremony.
Well, that's what she means. She...
Yeah, no, I don't think I'll ever be married. That's just not my... That's not my journey. Not legally,
well,
anyways.
Well, yeah. I guess... What she's trying to say is that wasn't her idea of you getting married.
Yeah, no, I was beside a pool table reading vows with my boyfriend. I get it. Right.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Yes. Yes. I know. No, indeed. And every mom, you know. But that's all I needed because he's committed to me now, and that's what I really ultimately needed. I needed him committed, and I'm committed, and... She was there, obviously, because she saw it. Yeah, we were a little kooky bird.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay.
Well,
right
when she meant that didn't work out so well, she was talking about her expectations of her little girl getting married. And again, they say these things to give you validation that it's them.
Yeah,
to,
no,
to
right
them,
on, right on.
To,
absolutely.
To let them know. To let them know, you know, let you know that she was there. And she condones your connection, and she honors your path, and she thinks, yeah, she says that you're way ahead of her. You're way, you've always been ahead of your time. And she's always known since you were a little girl that you're a healer. And she wishes she would have talked to you about that more.
Mm.
She thinks that you get it from her side of the family, actually.
I agree with that, yes. I think her mother was a healer as well.
She says, because you know your father.
He means, well, hey, does she know that me and Dad are getting along great? Now that I know he's my subconscious,
yeah.
We're doing great.
That's hilarious. Now you can look him in the eye and say, hey, is that all you got? Bring it on. You're not
that was
way
my mom
that
saying
easily.
That, huh? That wasn't you saying that. That was my mom. Yeah, right on. Yeah, no.
That's right.
Me and Dad are doing good, Mom. Me and Dad
yeah.
are doing really good. Really good. So.
She knows.
Yeah.
She says that you should have seen how you were tied at his hip when you were little.
Yeah, no, he was the reason why I was a straight-A student. I mean, it was all about pleasing Dad.
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
And she says it kind of changed in there around 13 or so, but...
That's exactly what it changed, exactly.
What can you say?
Yeah. Yeah, and then it took me till I was about 45 before we got back. It took
yeah.
me a little... Yeah,
your father's
I came
been very
home.
Patient.
Yeah, yeah, well, bless his heart, though. He's a man who's taught me more about virtues than anybody else in my life. And for that, how to live passionately. I mean, we look at our parents, and if they're passionate, they might not be, quote-unquote, involved in our lives, but they're living examples of how to live passionately. And when you get to the space where you're having a relationship with yourself, you really, it does, you know, remember we said about perspective changes everything. You know, he's now my hero for showing me how to live passionately.
Yeah.
As opposed to being the father who abandoned me.
Yeah.
You know, it's very interesting.
We always get the perfect thing that we need.
Exactly.
Was he ever in the service?
He might have been.
Your mom was talking something about the Navy. I don't know if
I know he was a boxer, and he was like a champion boxer, but I don't know if that was in the service or not.
That's what happened to him, right?
Okay. I don't remember.
She said he got knocked in the head too much.
We didn't talk a whole lot about... Yeah, I don't know much about any of my parents' childhood, to be honest, because we were so dysfunctional. It just never got talked about.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, she's happy that that you guys are connecting and you're coming full circle and understanding one another. So, did she have a sister?
She did.
Yeah. So she passed away too.
She's with her, I would assume.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. They were close. The husband wasn't close. My uncle.
Yeah.
She's
with her, and they're drinking margaritas.
Wow, rock and roll, Ma. They definitely, right on. Right on. Tell Jeannie I said hi. And is her mother with her as well?
You know, that's interesting.
I mean, she might not be. I mean, who knows what souls do, so.
That's a whole other hour-long conversation, but
yeah, right on.
her Was her mother disabled or like before she passed? Do you know anything about that?
She
needed like a walker or a support?
No, her father, I think, had Parkinson's. But I don't believe her mother did. I don't remember what Grandma Bauman died from. But no, I remember her being, she was another horse. I mean, just, you know, they just never quit until they conked.
Huh.
Permanently, I mean.
Need a drum roll.
Yeah, basically, I mean. They were very, it's almost like they had, you know, like black blood in them. Because, you know, black women are very strong.
Yeah.
My mom and my grandmother had sister in them, soul sister in them. Cause
did you have a brother?
My mom didn't. My father does.
No, do you have a brother?
Oh, I do.
Yeah. She wants to... Do you know someone named Jimmy? Or Jim?
Jimmy Eckert? Sure. I know a few Jimmys. Two Jimmys.
She just said the name. I'm not sure why she said that, but she... She wants to... So your brother's younger than you?
He acts younger, but no, he's actually older.
She's laughing.
But, yeah, he's nowhere. He doesn't. He's not as accomplished from a soul perspective as I am.
It's all relative.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, you made him the baby he is.
She wants you to tell him to listen to his sister.
Yeah. Okay. For the 200 millionth time.
She thinks that's funny. Because that's like...
Yeah, because he doesn't. Because he clearly doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, his journey is not mine.
So is he overweight?
Well, I mean, he's 50 and with a belly. I wouldn't call him obese.
Yeah.
But there's burdens. I mean, definite burdens. I don't know if she means that symbolically.
Well, she just said he needs to lose the weight.
Yeah. So talk to him, Ma. He's not going to listen to me.
Yeah, she is. She is talking about energetically.
Yeah.
He doesn't let things go.
I know. He has held grudges my whole life.
I keep telling him and telling him he doesn't let things go, and he won't listen to me.
He won't listen to me either. Well, then talk to Dad. He'll listen to Dad.
Well, yeah. He has a different relationship with him. That's his boy, and
yeah.
You know,
and he can
you
do
can.
No wrong.
That's
yeah,
right.
This is so typical. I didn't think my father would baby him after my mom died. I thought it would change. And boy, he took right up after my mom did. I was like, because I keep telling him, when Dad goes, none of this will be going on anymore. The babying will end with me, period. It's just the way it is. Time to grow up.
Your mom wants to say thank you for having the courage, and she wants... everybody to know that how courageous you are to, because there's a lot of things that you shifted and illuminated about your family that you haven't necessarily mentioned here, but that you've, by you having the courage to do the healing and stepping forward, you've changed everything.
Wow. You're very welcome, Ma. It's what I do. And doing it for us is magical.
Yeah, she says she just wants to give you validation that it's exactly right. You've done the exact right thing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I love it. Because I'm telling you, when I made the appointment earlier this week, you know, I got in touch with, so the audience knows, when I got in touch with Dan's publicist, my boyfriend has recently, we're on this concert kick. We're going to like 4 concerts in 2 weeks. And I saw May 31st, it was like, okay, we're going to Dumpster Funk May 31st. I knew we were going to Dumpster Funk May 31st, and there I am writing the email to Sarah, here, ask Mr. Ryan if he can do it on May 31st or June 14th. You know, I was like out of my body. I don't even know. I was like, and then it came back, and I was like, well, of course he can't do it May 31st. I mean, and then you come back, oh, yeah, I can do it May 31st. It's like, Goldie, why did you do that? And I was saying to myself, there was this weird energy from that whole alignment with the Pleiades, where, you know, I just kind of felt, the way I've been putting it, I felt a little unplugged, which is, hey, wait, my phone is dying. I felt a little unplugged. We're making an appointment, just was a bit of a challenge, and I just kept getting this sense, it was like, you got to get him on the show as soon as possible. Got to get him on the show as soon as possible. And I'm like, I can't. I was like, I can't deal with calendars right now. I'm like saying this to the universe. I can't deal with calendars. It's like, just get him on the show as soon as possible. And it's like, okay, maybe this Thursday we can do it. And when you came back and said, yeah, because it was just this, it was an inner urgency of this. And I really was not expecting, you know, per se to do my mom. I was like, oh, you know, we'll do a 2-hour show and, you know, we'll get to know each other. And, I mean, I knew you talked to dead people, but it was, you know, I was thinking of it more from the perspective of, I'd like to have people, you know, I hope you come on again because, you know, we have a rapport, obviously. Yeah, awesome. Because, you know, I'm really about, like I said, it's about friends talking on the phone and having people listen in. That's how I kind of play in life. And but I think something energetically, and I don't think I know, clearly something from a broader perspective that I didn't know that my mom knew. You know, I'm shifting my family, and that's really amazing. I'm going to cry again because that's really amazing. So,
it's beautiful.
Yeah, it really is. Really, really is.
It's good to cry.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
It's your soul smiling.
Yeah. Right on. Right on. So, oh, my goodness.
I felt your mom as soon as we got on the phone. Around and I'm like, oh, that's interesting. So I wonder when she's going to mention it.
Really? See, right on, right on.
And you know, this I had other things going on, and they changed. This just opened up.
Really?
Like the sun breaking through a cloud. And I'm like, oh, okay, that works.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, that is so magical. Wow, that is magical.
I mean, I have a wife and 2 kids and a little papillon, and you know, and you can hear that it's quiet here.
Yeah, yeah.
The way it worked out was that they went to visit her sister today.
Okay.
And this, and the whole afternoon opened up for me.
Wow.
And, yeah. I mean, it's to be on a show for 2 hours.
Yeah,
with
I know.
With my schedule, it's kind of like unheard of, but it opened up perfectly, and I'm like, wow, okay, great. I mean, this is meant to be.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you for sharing that with me as well. You know, this is, because, you know, don't you just love when a plan comes together?
Yeah, well, you know, like I was talking about before, the perception of perfection, and I just marvel in it, and I love it, because I,
yeah.
You know, when you're looking for what's right instead of what's wrong.
Yeah. Right
when
on.
when your perception is from your multidimensional self, instead of your limited self, I go into this a lot in my book, Healing from Heaven. But, you know, when you choose love instead of fear, you know, it's all semantics. It's the same thing. You know, everything opens up as it should. And you get to marvel in the miracles that are unfolding constantly.
Yeah.
If you're focusing on what's wrong and from a place of fear, you miss the miracles. You miss the miracles that are happening right in front of your eyes.
Yeah, that's very true.
So I'm so eternally grateful that I can experience this. I know this was perfect today, and I'm smiling inside because it's beautiful. And I love that the listeners got to see, you know, this is what I do in my healing circles. This is what I do with clients that come to me, you know, because oftentimes it's not, there's so much more than just receiving a message from,
yes.
you know, and people,
yes.
people talk about, yeah, I talk to dead people. And say, well, that's great. What do you do then?
That's the people that don't understand the subtle.
And there's so much more. As you experience, this is beautiful and cathartic that you were able to connect with your mother and heal this limited idea around your heart chakra, both of you.
Yeah.
And it frees you up to a greater intimacy. And you know what? It'll be interesting. You'll have to let me know. Your boyfriend may seem different to you.
Right on. Okay. Right on.
Because
I've already, you know, the things we talked about tonight, like when he triggers me and he triggers me, I'm immediately, like, at one point recently we got into a fight and we were getting into a fight and he goes, "Are you looking to start an argument?" And it was so clear in my head. It was like, "Why, yes, I am." And the very next thought was, "Get your ass to the woods, Goldie, because you are looking to start an argument." And, you know, as you eloquently put it, yes, exactly. And, you know, I immediately, because, like, I emphasize, like, the name of my other radio show is the Mystical Mother Earth Show. Because nature herself untangles me, just puts me back into homeostasis, well-being, peace, and it doesn't matter what I go. And for me, it's the forest. Other people like the beach. It could be just taking your shoes and socks off and sitting literally on the grass on your front porch if you live in a city. You know, whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, hug a palm tree that's a house plant. You know, but nature, boy, she is, you know, as we say, she's the ultimate sponsor of all of this. You know, she really, she's the mom, which is why I'm okay with, the reason why I can love my mom is because I now understand the connection with my mom, Mother Nature. So, you know, what my mom did was the best she could do, but all I remember is how much my mom was cool as hell. I mean, our house was the party house. We were the clubhouse. Everybody called her mom. In her funeral, she had more people under 35 because everybody loved my mom. I mean, she was a rock and roll mom. She was
awesome.
Do you
have a two-story house?
We do. We do.
Yeah.
Several parties.
Showing me a picture of it.
Oh,
and
nice.
A porch.
Yeah. Yes, the party on the porches.
Party on the porch.
Oh, my. Like 500 people came to our house.
That's right. They wouldn't fit in the house.
They did not fit in the house. That's exactly right. She was an integral part of those parties. She really was. Yeah, right on, Dan. Right on. Listen, I want to share before we still have 5 minutes, but I want to make sure we get this information. Where can people find you, Facebook you? How can people get a hold of you?
I'm on Facebook, Daniel Ryan DC.
Okay.
My website is healingfromheavenbook.com. That's healingfromheavenbook.com, spelled just like it sounds. And if people are in the Well, my office phone number to my practice, I have another website, drdanielryan.com for my practice, which is separate. But if people are in the Los Angeles area and they want to connect or make an appointment or something. But I also, I do many treatments remotely and work with people energetically over the phone long distance, obviously, as we did with
you and
your mother in another dimension. But
talk about long distance.
Yeah. Well.
That was a great one.
And my book's available on Amazon and different stores, and most people just pick it up on Amazon. It's Healing from Heaven, and there's a lot of true stories in there. The names have been changed, but true stories. You know, we talked about some of my stories about my catharsis and evolution. So it's broke up into three sections. The first is about that, and the second section is other people's stories and how they evolved in their healing process. And then the third section is how you can integrate these principles and shift yourself, very much like we did today with you.
Right on.
I guess
awesome.
It should be 2 hours maybe, because you got the full Monty.
This is why. And it's funny, because at one point when I saw it was like 54 minutes left. We have a countdown, a clock that counts it down. The second hour is always the juiciest hour. Always. Because when I was in terrestrial radio, I used to do it for an hour, because, I mean, they were charging me an arm and a leg to do it. And remember, Fred wasn't going to help me at that point. But when I first came on Blog Talk Radio, it was free. I mean, it was still, and they offered 2 hours. And, you know, I've had people, you know, like guests say, well, I just want to do an hour. And I'm like, you know, I'll book it for 2 hours. And if you're, you know, if you're feeling uncomfortable or you want to end it, we can end it. But, I mean, didn't it kind of just fly by for you? And meaning, like, you know, I know how to talk, you know, and if someone who I have on as a guest, yeah, knows their stuff, you know, this should be it's an intimidating thing for 2 hours, and yet from my experience, all my best guests who usually become really good friends of mine, they really understand that 2 hours is perfect, because we really can go into a subject much deeper, because that second hour, now we're connected. You know, so now we're getting into the juice of it. And
well, I do these healing circles, you know, mostly in Los Angeles right now, but they're 2 hours long, and I start with a meditation. And it takes, you know, I have some, you know, 35, 40 people come, and we make a big circle. And what we do is do a meditation, then I start communicating with people's relatives or whomever who's passed over, or doing healing, you know, energetic healing, and like very much what we did with you today. So that, and I tell you, the last hour and a half, it seems like 5 minutes.
Exactly, I agree. Because I think when we're working with the soul, it is a timeless experience, kind of embedded in time. You know, because that's why, you know, I have no idea of time anymore, calendar or clock.
That's deep.
<You know. laughs> Hey, so next time, can we kind of do it like you just said, like, you know, have you come on, do a meditation? Because I'll advertise it per se as, you know, let's all get together as a circle, and you would be open to taking calls and speaking to people?
Yeah.
Oh, because, you know, that's, you know, we'll get the calls. I didn't advertise it that way because, you know, like I said, I wanted to kind of bond, so to speak, you know, and, you know, get to know each other and who we each are and, you know.
Yeah, and you kind of had to get a feel for, you know, what I do and stuff too, you know.
Well, exactly, because I really am a person that it's a it's my show, and I'm very much, these are my babies. You know, it's like we are, you know, we're intimate. I'm intimate, and you know, some guests can do intimate back, and some guests can't.
How did I do?
And I'm sure you do. So, you know, it's
I said, how did I do?
Oh, how did you? Oh my God, how did you do? Goodness, you didn't do well. You are intimate. You are the quintessential soul connector, and you are amazing, amazing. Thank you, truly.
Thank you. You were great.
Yeah,
that's it. I've done a lot of. You know, it's interesting too. I've done a lot of radio interviews now, and I'm. This is really nice to be able to sit down, and you know, forget about all the other stuff and have a conversation.
Oh, right on.
And have an experience, and have you be present and honest, because you know, some people, you know, everybody has their different perspective, but they have this idea of what they think they need to do or be or something, and people were,
yeah.
Some people were saying, well, you gotta, you know, boost up your energy and do talk twice as fast and be in it. I'm like, dude, that's not who I am.
Yeah, right on.
You know,
I'll be honest with you. Somebody hooked me up on YouTube or Facebook with somebody with exactly that type of rap.
Yeah.
And you know, I listened to a few of his shows. He did other shows, and I went, you know, I'm sure he's a wonderful coach. And I said, but that's not what my audience, that's not what we're looking for. It's just not. I really want, you know, the fly on the wall kind of conversation that two friends would have. And it's exactly, you know, it is what we get. And I think in that intimacy, the people who are really open to doing the integrative work, they show up, and it's not as big an audience, which is fine, but it's a deep audience. It's an audience that we're genuinely touching. And
well, you know, it doesn't even move me. Right.
Okay.
It doesn't even matter if it's one person.
Exactly.
Because it's not, you know, the numbers and the like, all that, or what you think you should do. That's all product of your finite mind.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I could not agree more.
If one person gets it, which I'm sure a lot more did, because when this type of thing happens, like what we did today, it raises consciousness.
Yeah, exactly.
You experience firsthand, and you step into another realm, and you don't go back once you experience
and
that.
And there's no going back, right?
You have a greater knowing.
Agreed. Through experience, not just being, you know, reading it, but energetically. Because what we do is, I mean, this is the radio waves. It's carrying us. It's like, and then I'm telling you, you know, we've got listeners in Norway, in Sweden, all over the world.
That's amazing.
So it's awesome. Listen, we're going to end up getting cut off. Blog Talk Radio used to give me a whole hour afterwards. Now they only give me up to 5 minutes after my 10 o'clock time. So I will definitely be in touch. Or if you have, you know, any time after 2 weeks, if you find that there's some time and you want to come on, I'll email you so you have my email address.
Great.
I'm also going to befriend you on Facebook. So if there's something, if there's ever a time you want to come on, you're welcome anytime. And we can do this any night of any day of, you know, because it's no longer just Thursday night. It's whenever is divine. So,
okay.
I picked Thursday night because I figured, you know, that would be the easiest. And then I guess Sarah told me anyways, Tuesdays and Thursdays that you're available anyway. So that worked out well too. So
yeah, Thursday nights are good.
Okay.
I've a wife and two kids and the dog and the family and my
definitely
social event. Like,
you know, beyond healing the world, we do have our family.
Right. Oh, that too.
Yeah, right on. So Dan, thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart, from my soul. Thank you. Thank you. It was a true, true pleasure spending time with you tonight.
And you as well. Thank you for having me. It was I really enjoyed it, and enjoy the sharing.
Right on. Thank you.
The sharing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You're one of us. I love it.
I
can't wait.
I can't wait
to talk with you again.
Me too.
All right. Take care. Take
All right.
care,
love. Take care. Be well.
All right. Bye now. Bye-bye. Yeah, you too. Bye now.
You've been experiencing Another Reality Show with Golden Hawk. Another Reality Show is live Thursdays 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, or listen and be enlightened anytime that works for you. Questions or comments? Email the show, goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. That's goldenhawkfeather@yahoo.com. Also, visit us on the web at www.anotherrealityshow.com. Remember, all you rule breakers, misfits, troublemakers, all you free spirits and pioneers, all you visionaries and nonconformists, everything the establishment has told you is wrong with you is actually what is right with you. You see things others don't. You're hardwired to change the world. And unlike 9 out of 10 people, your mind is irrepressible and you were born to be a revolutionary. And here at Another Reality Show, we salute you. Stay amazing and keep on flying. Good night.